Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. As we come to the message this morning, I continue with the book of Philippians, the letter to the church at Philippi, and the message title today is The Righteousness of God by Faith. You know, when I was preparing for this, and you know, this has been something that's been resonating in my heart for many years, there's a depth to this message today that I cannot reveal to you. It's something that only God, the Holy Spirit, can reveal, because it comes, he's got to reveal it to you. I will do my best, and I trust him for God's anointing to just open up the dimension of this today. But there's a depth that we need to walk in this righteousness of God that we have received by faith. And my prayer for us today is that God will open up our minds and renew our minds. And this would not just be a message that you would hear, but something that you would meditate upon, and especially over the season as you have some quiet time, may this become life, and may something of what God is saying here today become a reality. I want to go back to the Garden of Eden and the time when God created the heavens and the earth, and we see as God created and put this beautiful world together and all his creation. He created Adam and he created Eve, and he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Eve was there. But there's a clear instruction not to eat of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the evil one, Satan, came and deceived both Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit, and the knowledge of good and evil became a reality. And at that time, what actually happened is that sin became an outworking in the lives of Adam and Eve. And they were banished from the Garden of Eden, from fellowship with God, from right standing with God. And we as man, as we were born under that curse of sin, we were banished from the presence of God, and we lost our right standing with God. And what happened with that, when sin came into the outworking of man, the sense of sin consciousness, the ability to do sin, to do evil before God was a reality. And we've all found ourselves in that place of being able to sin and actually to stand before God and the wrath of God to stand against us. But I want to just say the good news here today, thank God for Jesus. The Lord knew that whole thing was going to take place, is that sin would be a reality, and God wanted to restore man back to his relationship with him. And I want to bring the good news to here today, is that Jesus has taken away this aspect of sin, and not only the sin, but also the sin consciousness of us thinking about us just as sinners. He's brought us to a place and redeemed us and brought us into a place that now we are children of God and we are sons of God. And I want to just say today, the foundation of that is what Jesus did on the cross. But he imputed righteousness back to us, and I'm going to explain that to you, that we can be in right standing with God our Father again. But I want to just emphasize today, I really do believe that through the church, we are focused too much on sin consciousness. There's a portion of our lives when sin does come that we do need to repent and we do need to confess our sin and God cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we cannot walk with a sin consciousness. We need to walk what God has actually done for us. We need to walk with a righteous consciousness. And when we walk with that, we start to walk in wholeness and we start to walk in the fullness of Christ. Unfortunately, when we focus just on the sin in our lives and the wrongdoing in our lives, we live with a limited righteousness. And I wanted to say God wants to restore us back to this fullness of his righteousness that's found in him. So as I said, the theme of the message today is the letter to the church at Philippi, the righteousness of God by faith. And the text I'm reading from today is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. Wonderful portion of text. There's so much in here, and we've been expounding upon it for a number of weeks, but we continue with this portion. Yet, indeed, I also counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Hear that. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, that's the Mosaic law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness of which is from God by faith. And I just really do believe that we, as we expound upon this today, hear what the Lord is saying to us today, and we will see the hand of grace. So I've got a number of points here today. My first point is, found in Christ, the righteousness working powerfully in your life. So when Jesus went to the cross and died for us and we died with him, there was something of a legal contract that was actually paid. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and paid the penalty for our death. And that's where that word redemption comes from. Redeeming is a payment. And we understand that as an accounting term, there's redemption. And Jesus didn't do a partial payment. He made a full payment for our sin. He took our sin upon him. He took our death upon him. And when he died of it, he paid the full price. He took the wrath of God upon himself and he went down into hell and he suffered for us. But the good news that when the Father rose him, the price was paid. Jesus, through his redemption, justified us. And this is a fact we need to understand, that we are no longer sinners. God has redeemed us. God has placed us in himself now, that we are the children of God, that we have found that we are sons of God, and we've been given the righteousness of God. And that's an incredible thing, is that this righteousness that God has actually given us is his righteousness. It's not something that we can earn. As I said, Paul said, it's not something that I can earn, but it's something that God has actually given to. It's a gift of grace that God has actually given to us. So we need to understand this thing. The theology is that there's justification. We've been justified. It's a fact that we've received righteousness. But it doesn't stop there. Righteousness is still got to be outworked. Now that we are righteous in Christ, that we stand before the Father, that we don't have to do anything to be right before the Father, Jesus has done it for us. But there's still this aspect of righteous living. And I want to just say today, in the world that we live in today, there's a lot of unrighteousness. And we see it in our newspapers. We see it on the online. We see it in a world that is striving to do right, but actually has got to a place where there's such unrighteousness. And there's only one righteous one, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he lives in us, we carry the righteousness of God. And as we live life here on earth, we carry the sense of who God is on earth. And we bring righteousness to the lives, into our lives, into our communities, into the world that we actually live. And this makes this place a better place. But the world where we find ourselves, what do we find? We find the world is so caught up in the sin consciousness, they're looking for sin, and we get to a place where there's judgment. People start to judge, and people start to walk in self-righteousness and self-justification. And it's a major problem in the world, because they're trying to work out righteousness, but they're getting into self-righteousness and self-justification. And the root of that is pride and not humility. It's false humility. And we've got to get to a place that we don't see anything of self-righteousness or self-justification. It's only found in Jesus. He's the only one that can justify us, and he's the only one that can enable us to walk a righteous life as we trust in him. So God wants to restore back to this fullness and want us to walk in the fullness of that. You know, I was just contemplating this whole thing of righteousness, and I don't know if you've ever had a revelation of God's righteousness. And, you know, God, I just do believe the Lord doesn't always reveal that to us. He tells us, and we're going to read the scriptures, that to seek his righteousness. But in the life of the church, and as I've been dealing with people over a number of years, there's been very few opportunities. But God is a gracious God, and he's a loving God, and he will have patience, and he will work with you and work with you. But there will become a time in his righteousness that he will draw a line and say, that's enough. And he will say no. And I've experienced that at times when dealing with some people, at times when I just sense the overpowering of his righteousness. This God that we love and who loves us is a righteous God. He only does things that are right. And when that thing, and you don't want to fall into the hands of a righteous God. He's a consuming fire. And I believe this righteousness, as much as we've imputed it, we've got to walk in this reverence, and we've got to walk in this fear of God, that he's a righteous God. We don't have the right just to live our lives in unrighteousness. We've got to walk in this righteousness. And God has given us this wonderful opportunity in Christ to live in this righteousness. So there's this emphasis that we've got to find ourselves. What Christ has gained on the cross, it's got to be worked out in our lives. We've got to represent heaven on earth. As much as we have an ability now, because we are the righteous in God, to go into the presence of God, we carry heaven here on earth. And wherever we find, there should be a testimony of the righteousness of God wherever we find ourselves. And I'm telling you, that is something that we've got to work towards, something that we've got a goal in our life. And I tell you now, as we allow God to do that, something of the evidence of heaven will be in your life as never before. Paul got to this place that he said that he doesn't trust in the law, the Mosaic law. Now, in the church, this is where I think it's gone wrong, where we get limited righteousness, is that many have trusted in the Ten Commandments. And hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Ten Commandments are wrong. No, they are from God. But it's not. It's higher than the Ten Commandments. It's not the Mosaic law. It's not the matter of doing to be right. It's actually to be in Christ and allow Christ to live his righteousness through you. As we preached the other week, is that the righteousness of God is to do things right, to go the extra mile, to turn the other cheek, to give your cloak, your shirt. This is where God wants us to grow into. And I really do believe, as we establish his righteousness in our lives, our personal lives, in our homes, in our work environment, wherever we find ourselves, we will have more of the presence of God, more of the power of God working in and through our lives. So secondly, I just want us to go and look at the scriptures. Jesus spoke much. The scripture has much to talk about righteousness. I'm not going to get through much of it, but I want to just say, as we look to the scriptures, I want you to meditate on these and allow God to speak to you. So what did Jesus say to us as we expound the scriptures? In Matthew 5, verse 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." The world does not hunger and thirst for righteousness. We've got a hunger and thirst for it. There's something in a desire as we get hungry for food. Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Or is it just living like the world? Or we just live in commonplace lives? We've got a hunger and thirst for his righteousness. There's a wonder and there's a blessing in that. Matthew 5, verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Do we stand for what is right? You'll be persecuted, but you stand for what is right. Matthew 6, verse 1, talking about the Pharisees, "Beware of the practicing of your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." But Jesus is also saying, conversely, is that we need to be practicing righteousness. Very, very important. And when we know this portion of scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we know it very well, but are we practicing it? "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I think the English doesn't carry what we need to do there. You can also read it, "But seek first the kingdom of God and seek first his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." There's something when we marry the two together. We've seen the scripture of seeking first his kingdom, but his righteousness, I think we haven't heard the Lord in that regard. Then Paul gets to the whole understanding of what took place on the cross and what was the finished work of the cross and what we received in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we may become the righteousness of God. In him, in Christ. That's very, very important. And then from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21, I want to read that full context. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Important, the portion of scripture talking about being a new creation in Christ and then being given the righteousness of God. And then Romans 3, verse 21 to 22. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. That's a Mosaic law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And I believe that's so important. We receive righteousness. We don't do righteousness to gain righteousness from God. And then Romans 4, verse 25, who has delivered us up from our trespasses, our sin, and raised us up for justification. And Romans 5, 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it's not a doing, it's a receiving by faith our righteousness. And then what others said in James 5, verse 16, yeah, it comes to what we're doing as we live life in Christ. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So a prayer of a righteous man in the King James says availeth much. So I want to just say there's something that when we stand in righteousness and we do what God calls us to do, there's power in what God has for us. Thirdly, what does righteousness mean? I'm going to be reading the ability to stand in the presence of Father God without the sense of guilt of inferiority. There's no sin consciousness. The pagan religions try to get rid of sin consciousness through the works that they do, but our sins are taken away by faith in Christ. We've been imputed with his righteousness. We have no fear of spiritual death. We have received his life and his nature of righteousness, the nature of the Father has been imparted to us. So what does this righteousness of God do to us? It restores to man what was lost in the fall. We read about Adam and Eve. A new relationship as a son with all its privileges. The moment we believe in and upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we become the righteousness of God in Christ. We are no longer fallen, but we are restored. We become masters again, as in the garden. Man becomes a dominant spirit in submission to Christ. He makes us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. This nature that he gives us causes us to ascend and to be victorious, begin to rule and reign in Christ. Again, this righteousness enables us to speak the word of God, to speak those creative words and to see life being spoken through us. We begin to rule and reign in Christ. We become creators again as we speak his word in Christ. And I say, the church hasn't always taught this. They've taught a limited righteousness. There's not an understanding of what the Father has done in Christ. So there's some points here. What has this righteousness done? It's restored our standing before the Father. The sin consciousness took us away that we couldn't come into this presence of a holy, righteous God. It crippled us. It took away our spiritual initiative, our confidence, and our assurance to stand before his presence. But God has restored us that we can stand fearlessly before the presence of our Heavenly Father as Jesus stood before Father. And I want to just say that's so important, is that our Heavenly Father wants us to come boldly before him and to stand, not with a sense of guilt, not with a sense of shame, but know that we can stand as sons and daughters of the Most High God before him. There's something as entering into the throne room of grace and being there and stand before in confidence, not with sin and the things that you've done and whatever you, if you've trusted God and you've confessed your sin, God has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Stand before your Father in heaven. I'm telling you, it's the highest place of authority. It's the highest place of love. It's the highest place of righteousness in the universe. Stand before him with no guilt, no fear. Stand before him. This is the gift that God has actually given us. And then out of that also is this righteousness gives us to be fearless before Satan. You don't have to fear Satan. Jesus has overcome him. He has defeated him. And you have a legal right to use his name now to resist him and to overcome him. Don't be fearing because you have the righteousness of God. And tell the devil that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The devil has got to flee from you, as the scripture says, as you resist him. And know that this is a legal right, that you've received this as the new covenant. You've received this legal right of being restored to righteousness. Secondly, our fellowship is restored. Our fellowship was lost in the garden, but because of righteousness, we can come into our fellowship with God. And I'm telling you, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to have any sense of guilt and shame, a sense of sin, a sense of condemnation, inferiority complex. And I've read that quickly, but let me tell you, many of us are in a situation that you cannot come before God because you feel condemned in the life that you've lived or what you've been doing. We cannot allow that to take place. Break the authority of the sin consciousness, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I want to just say, as you do that, there's a freedom and there's a liberty that comes to you. We've got to discover, I just sense, you've got to discover this righteousness as you stand before the Father. Doesn't mind you come and say to him, Father, I stand before you in the righteousness of Christ. And as you stand before, I come boldly before you and I bring my petitions before you as your son. And you start to speak that way and you start to live that way. I'm telling you, there's something of heaven that starts to take place in your life. Not in this one that's groveling as a beggar. No. You've received. God has done all those things. Yes, we come in humility. We come in surrender. But we don't come groveling anymore, and we don't come as beggars anymore. We come as sons and daughters of the Most High. And this restores us to fellowship with God that is sweet and loving and freedom as we go forward in that. Thirdly, faith is restored. Man lost faith in the garden, and faith has been given to us too. Now we can exercise our faith in God, and we can exercise and see the faithfulness of God in us. Incredible area of allowing faith to go. Then peace is restored too. If righteousness is not known, peace cannot be restored because there's a sense of condemnation if you haven't been known who you are in Christ and you're walking that, then you won't necessarily have the fullness of peace because the devil will be hounding you and you'll be walking in self-condemnation. If you stand in your righteousness in God, you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. I want you to hear that. You've been cleansed from all unrighteousness that you can stand before God. And you can have this assurance before God. There's something of an assurance before God because of the finished work. You can start to live this life of victoriously and be who you are in Christ. Then fifthly, this righteousness brings freedom is restored. Not freedom from this world and its political systems and financial things and the discomforts. We're going through the world and we know the world's in recession and we know the political upheaval around the world and even with all this COVID thing, those things are changing and we're praying into those things. But before God, you are free and you have freedom in Christ. You can stand with absolute authority before him. And out of that, you can have this freedom from fear of Satan, fear of man, and leaning on your own understanding, but trusting God as a son of God. As God brings us to this freedom, as I say, we have been restored to the joy of knowing our Heavenly Father and being come into fellowship with him, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. So here we get to the place, what limits us using our righteousness in Christ? What causes us not to walk into these things? So when you know your righteousness, you start to act on the Word of God, you start to live in your place in Christ, you take the advantages of living in this righteousness as you stand before the Father, you start to pray in this place of righteousness, in a place of authority, and things start to take place. You start to see your ability in Christ, you start to see Christ is your strength. You see God meeting all your needs. You begin to speak his word. You start to speak the word and people are healed. People are strengthened. People awaken as you speak the word. But why do many Christians not get into that place? I do believe is that their mind has not been renewed. We have unrenewed minds. Is that we read there that as a new creation, you haven't come to understand what Christ is actually.